You are visiting with us and new to our sermon and messages. We have finished 1st and 2nd Peter. We are all done with Peter's encouragement to us to endure through difficult times. And so we are starting a mini series on learning to pray like Jesus. So that is our topic for the next 5 Sundays, learning to pray like Jesus. And let's put this passage up in front so we can look at this first one. This is a very important passage. We'll refer to it twice. Mark 10, verses 13 through 16. Congregation is kind of fun if we stand and read Scripture together. So let's stand as we read this passage of Scripture. Here we go. Mark 10, 13 through 16. They were bringing children to him that he might touch them, and the disciples rebuked them. But when Jesus saw it, he was indignant and said to them, "Let the children come to me. Do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of God. Truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter it." And he took them in his arms, and he blessed them, laying his hands on them. Thank you. You may be seated. As we begin this sermon series on prayer, I grabbed all of my books out of my study that I have on prayer. Boy, this is just a few of all of them that are out there, but it's kind of fun to have all these to learn from. Here's one from Francis Grubbs, "Lord, Teach Us to Pray," former president of St. Paul Bible College, Spebe, now Crown, where I went for a couple years. Great book. Here's a mini one. Here is the full, complete works of E.M. Bounds on prayer. If you really want to get into this topic in a big way, here's about 600 pages on prayer. Excellent book. Here's the mini version of it, Power Through Prayer, by E.M. Bounds. Here is one called, this is a classic, "With Christ in the School of Prayer" by Andrew Murray. Fantastic, classic book. Here's one called "How to Talk with God, The Dynamics of Prayer" by Stephen Winward. I pulled these out of Patty's library at home. We're going to refer to these a couple times. "Prayers That Avail Much" by Word Ministries. Simple prayers coming right out of Scripture. Very handy tool. Here's another one, "And the Place Was Shaken." Can you imagine when the early church prayed for the disciples who were in prison, and through their prayers, the entire building they were in had an earthquake, and the whole building was shaken. But here's one I want you to write down. These are all excellent, excellent books, but here's one I want you to write in your notes right now, okay? So this is the most practical, helpful book I have read on prayer. It is written by Paul Miller, and it's called A Praying Life. Pretty simple. A Praying Life. Very good, very practical. And so this entire sermon series is going to be a very practical sermon series on our prayer life. So let's think about your prayer life for just a moment. None of you, I guarantee none of you, are satisfied with your prayer life. Raise your hand if you are. Are you satisfied with your prayer life? No, most likely not. And no one more so than me. Okay? This sermon series is for me. Number one, for me. And if you get something out of it, cool. But I need it more than anybody. Okay? So that's what we're going to be studying the next 5 weeks. Not happy with your prayer life? Do you think that your prayer life should be longer in terms of minutes during the course of the day? You prayed 5 minutes yesterday and that's not enough, so you want to do it 20 today, tomorrow, and 30 the next day. Is that how you feel? To improve your prayer life? How about more fervently? You know, if you learned how to pray so that sweat was coming out of your skull and you were just agonizing on the floor praying for answers of prayer, but you're not getting answers of prayer. Maybe that's how you feel about your prayer life. More effectively, or You know, that's totally all of those things. Longer, more often, more fervent, more effectively. Throw it all away. Throw it all away. It's irrelevant. Because that's all legalism. That's legalistic. That's focusing on the prayer. In a few minutes, I'll probably talk about this. It's not focusing on the person of God. It's focusing on the prayer. And that's, the Lord doesn't like that. Why are you so concentrating on the prayer when you ought to be concentrating on me and talking to me in a relational way? So throw all that away. If you're worried about length, if you're worried about how often, how fervent, how effective, throw it all away. Don't worry about it. That is legalism. Legalism. You're concentrating on the wrong things. Think about it this way. You have friends over for dinner, good friends of yours. And so before they get to dinner and you've got the table all set, in your mind you're thinking, okay, they're going to come over for dinner. Let's see. What five topics do I want to cover in tonight's dinner time conversation? I want to cover this, 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 and this. That's absurd, right? They're your good friends. You're not going to have five topics in your mind that you want to talk about and direct the conversation. How does the conversation go around a dinner table? What happens? What is it? It's ebb and flow. Somebody brings something up. Oh, cool. Let me talk about that for a little bit. And somebody else brings something up. It is ebb and flow. It's back and forth. You're not there for an agenda. Okay? So if you have that concept in your mind, I have an agenda today I want to bring before God, I think you're offending God just a little bit by what that mentality. No, this is a relational experience with the God of the universe who is bringing you in to talk to him, relate with him, much like you would do with good friends over dinner. So here's my own confession. My confession. Probably yours as well, but here is my confession. My prayers have been way, way, way too mechanical. Way too mechanical rather than relational. They ought to be relational. So I tried systems with my prayers. You've tried this as well, okay? Here's the system. You've heard of it before. ACTS, ACTS, right? How many of you have heard of ACTS in your prayer life? Not bad. For beginners, okay? So you start with adoration, then you go to confession, and then spend some time in thanksgiving, and then some time in supplication, which is yes is for, which means to ask for favors and ask for requests. So how do you think God feels about this? And I don't mean to belittle this too much, but just a little. How do you think God feels when you start your prayer time and say, God, I'm going to spend 10 minutes now adoring you, and then I'm going to spend about another 10 minutes confessing every known sin in my life, and then I'm going to spend 20 minutes thanking you for all the blessings you've given to me. And then 45 minutes, I got all these requests. So that's my agenda, ACTS. I struggle with that. I don't think God is all that glorified. If you have to do that, fine. But it's better to enter into a relationship with God in the moment. In the moment. I'll express more about that as we go on. So that's my confession. That's how I've been doing it in the past. Many, many of my prayers are that way. But no, here's a key point. Our prayers must be relational. Relational. Even more so than our conversations with good friends. In the same way, our prayers to God need to be relational. So here's a correction. To cure me, to cure you of the mechanical types of praying you and I do, structured praying, systematized praying, how do we fix that? How are we going to cure me and you of that? Well, here it is. We're going to learn how to pray like a child. That's the most important thing that you can learn in this entire sermon series. Learn to pray like a child. At the end of our sermon today, that's going to be your application, and I'm going to plead with you. I'm going to beg you when you go home for your devotion time, to approach your prayer life like a little child, like the ones running around here on Sunday morning, especially little Michael and Owen and others and Magnus and all the girls as well. Oh, they have a way about them that's just so honest, so open, so transparent. That's what God wants. He wants you to approach him just like we read, like a little child. But before we talk about that, before we talk about praying like a child, let's just do 3 points here that are important to remember. Number one, prayer is hard. Prayer is hard. If you're a new Christian and you're beginning your Christian life, you don't know how to pray, you don't know how to relate to God, you're probably going to skip it. You're probably going to put it on the back burner. If you do it at all, prayer is hard. Okay? One of the reasons why is this. We don't like to ask friends for help, especially men. We don't like to ask our neighbors, can I borrow your tool? I'd rather go buy it myself. Asking for help from friends is hard. And some of that translates into our relationship with God's pride. That's one factor. But if you don't know how to relate to people very well, you're certainly not going to know how to relate to God. And so prayer is hard. We have to learn how to be relational. Number two, life is busy. Life is busy. Our calendar gets crowded. Our daily schedule gets crowded. And we're looking at one distraction after another. One emergency after another. When you're at work, then we're being called in all these different directions. And so you had a plan. You had a plan to get up early in the morning and to pray with the Lord and have devotions. All of a sudden, the phone rings. You know how it works. Life is busy. Life is busy. Number three, prayer, I said, was hard. Yes, but number three, prayer should be easy. Prayer should be easy. And it will get easier. Once you stop treating it as a project, something you have to do, a system by how you approach God, much like the Pharisees probably did, stop all of that. Stop it. And it will get easier as you develop the friendship with the God of this universe and talk to him like you're talking to a friend, or better yet, talking to a father like a child. All right, so let's get into this concept of learning to pray like a child. Number one, pray with childlike faith. Childlike faith. We already looked at that, Mark chapter 10. We read it already, verses 13 through 16. These children came to Jesus. He blessed them. They didn't think they would be pushed away. They thought they had every right to come and sit on Jesus' lap and be blessed. Children don't think the way we adults think. We think, I'm not worthy. He doesn't want to talk to me now. We have all these thoughts, probably Satan and his demons put into our minds. No, you got to earn your way into his presence. You got to be perfect. You got to fix your life first before you can relate to God. No, that's demonic. Children don't think that way. if they disobeyed and dad said, not going to talk to you until you confess and repent. Well, then they repent and they confess and it's right back in their lap. Childlike faith, moving right into God's lap, expecting. So, also number two, pray with childlike honesty. Honesty. You know, if the way into the kingdom of God, as Jesus said, is to have childlike faith, which he said it was, humble, honest, transparent. It's how we come to God, right? We get on our knees and say, I'm not worthy, and God, you are so good. And it's no pride, no pretense, no promotion of our own goodness before God. None of that. No, no, no. We come to God with childlike honesty. So if that's how you come into the kingdom of God, it's also how you approach the Father. Childlike honesty. Children say, I love this, children say whatever's on their minds, don't they? Whatever's on their mind. And there's no filter. They just blurt it out. Sometimes it's embarrassing for us adults what they say, but it comes out. Here it is. I love it. Here's an image in my mind. It helps me. And I hope it helps you as well. I've started my prayers in my office now with this mental image. And that is of a little bird. Doesn't matter what kind, but I'm the bird. And that little bird is eating out of a human's hand. There might be bird seed in that human's hand. And the bird is sitting right here eating bird seed. And that's my image, my newest image of approaching the Father. Me, I'm that bird. And the Heavenly Father is there holding me in his hand, and I'm eating out of his hand. When I say the Lord's Prayer, give me this day my daily bread, I'm imagining I'm a bird eating bird seed out of the Father's hand. And that helps me because there's only enough for the day. I don't ask for a week's supply. There's only enough in that hand to feed me the moment and fill me up to the full. But I also imagine that there's a whole mountain of bird seed behind me. I could never eat all of that because the Father gives me all I need. I'm the bird. And that helps me to come to God with a childlike attitude. It helps me to be honest before him because I'm not coming with any kind of credentials. I'm not coming with any kind of an attitude that I've earned a right to be here. Look at my righteousness. Look who I am. No, I'm the bird. And God is just feeding me out of his hand. I love that. It's helped me a lot. Think of Pharisees. Pharisees back in the New Testament. Pharisees are perfect, right? Perfect hypocrites. Perfect hypocrites. Well, oftentimes we come to God that way as well. No, no, no. Jesus wants honesty, total, total honesty about our lives. Look this passage up in the Bible right now. Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 to 30. Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 to 30. What is Jesus' invitation? Here it is. Come to me, all of you who labor and you're heavy laden. You've got these burdens on your shoulder, these worries, these problems that plague you day after day, that wear you down. Come to me, all of you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Because I'm the place where you unload those. Get rid of those. All of you who think you've got your act together, all of you who think you can handle every one of your problems on your own and don't need me, well, the invitation is not then for you. It's only for those who realize they can't handle this burden anymore and need to get it off their shoulders. Be honest about God, with God about that. You got a burden, you're laboring, you're struggling, you don't feel like you can make it, share that with the Lord Jesus. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Love that. My yoke. Put two oxen together. One's much stronger than the other. They adjust the yoke. I love that. They adjust the yoke. So the big one's doing all the pulling. The other one's just doing the balancing act. That's all he's doing. Take my yoke upon you because it's adjusted. I'm doing the pulling. Learn from me. I love this. For I am gentle and I'm lowly in heart. You will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, my burden is light. And so, come to Jesus with honesty. Unload your burdens. Don't hide your burdens. Don't hide your worries. Don't pretend that you don't have any fears of the future. Don't pretend to God that you're not totally exhausted. Tell him. So here's an illustration to help you with this, think this correctly. When I pray, I pause to think, okay, what are my worries today? Here's my schedule. Here's what I'm supposed to be accomplishing today, but overlapping a lot of that is a burden, a concern, a worry. Can I talk to you, Lord, about that worry, about that concern, about that burden? So here's probably what I need to say. Lord, there is no way our little flock of believers at Cornerstone Church can ever, pay for a pitch roof over this building. How are we ever going to pay for that to keep our carpets dry and perhaps get new carpet? And how can we ever afford that and get new carpet and replace the countertops downstairs that would never pass a health inspection, by the way? It's a good thing the health inspectors don't come by here, because they would say, you can't serve out of this kitchen. Or if you walk too closely to them, you're going to rip your dress or whatever. So how can we ever do that? Lord, I feel also, Lord, here's my honest prayer. I feel a little guilty because I know I'm supposed to be a super spiritual Christian, and I communicate with missionaries, and they email me, and they say, can we come and visit your church? And I say, yes, providing you don't expect any money, because those funds ran out, and I apologize, but we have to put a new roof over our building, and it's going to cost us a ton of money, and I don't see how we can pay you to continue serving the Far East broadcast, as Bob Bartz most recently last week. That's an honest worry. It's my own sense of, Lord, here's my struggle. Can I talk to you about this? So that's being honest before the Lord, and I asking you to be honest with your worries as well. Quick answer. How does the Lord's Prayer start? Repeat after me. Our Father. Our boss? Our master? Well, he is master, right? He is Lord, and we readily admit that. But is that how Jesus taught us to pray? We are his slaves. We are his servants. But number one, we are his what? We are his children. And so you approach God with a childlike attitude. Say, our Father, my Father, Abba, really, Abba, Daddy. What an intimate way to approach God. Keep that in mind. Next, we pray with childlike expectancy. We expect God to give us what we need. Not what we want, but what we need. We know he will. Think about your own children. Think about your own grandchildren. Think about dinner table. When you read this passage of Scripture, turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 through 11. Matthew 7, just a couple pages over from where you are. More of Jesus' instruction. Ask. Ask. And it will be given to you. Whatever you need to fulfill the mission, not what you want, because that's selfishness, and children know that too. Ask, it'll be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be open to you. That door of ministry, whatever you need, whatever supply is in the supply closet of the storehouses of heaven, it's available for you to do whatever God has called you to do. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds it. And to the one who knocks, it will be opened. To highlight that, or which one of you, Jesus asked. If his son asks him for bread, is the dad going to give him a stone? Here, have this rock, son. Chew on this for a while. See how it tastes. No! Or if your son asks you for a fish, you turn around and give him a serpent? Poisonous one? How ridiculous. So if you then, who are evil, really, we all are in our hearts, prior to coming to Christ, you know, and we had this sinful nature, so we're not righteous like God. If you then who are evil know how to give good gifts, at least you know how to do that to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father who is in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? Same as your children at the dinner table. You're going to give them good nourishing meals. And the child says, Daddy, would you pass more mashed potatoes? He expects to get them. You're not going to hold back, especially when there's a lot in the plate. So pray with childlike expectancy. God wants to give you what you need to do what he's called you to do. Next, pray with childlike persistence. Be persistent. Turn your Bibles to the book of Luke at chapter 18. There's two stories in the Bible, various places. One's in Luke chapter 11, one's in Luke 18. About praying with persistence. Don't give up. Pray again and again and again. Luke 18, verses 1 through 8, told them a parable to the fact that they ought always to pray and not lose heart. You haven't gotten the answer yet? You're going to give up praying and to stop praying? Don't. Jesus tells us, don't. Here's an illustration, he said. In a certain city, there was a judge who neither feared God nor respected man. And there was a widow in that city who kept coming to him and saying, give me justice against my adversary. She was being treated with injustice. No mercy there. Give me justice against my adversary. For a while, he refused. But afterward, he said to himself, though I neither fear God nor respect man, yet because his widow keeps bothering me, I will give her justice. So that she will not beat me down, wear me down by her continual coming. That's how humans respond. And Jesus is saying, come on, lift your sights a little higher. The Lord said, now hear what the unrighteous judge says. And will not God, who loves you so much, who gives justice to his elect, his loved ones, who cry to him day and night, will he not answer? Will he delay over them? No. We don't know his timetable, but when his answer is set to come, it will be right on time. He's not going to delay. I tell you, he will give justice to them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he find that kind of faith on earth? To pray so persistently for justice to arrive. So pray with childlike persistence. How many kids ask only once? Right? Only once. No, never. They ask again and again and again and again. Pray like that. Next, pray with childlike impulsiveness. I love this. Kids just say what they want. They're impulsive. They don't have a plan. They just blurt it out. Pray that way too. Children jump from topic to topic. They jump from toy to toy. Their attention span is all of 30 seconds. And confess with me, your attention span when you pray is not any longer than that either. Amen? You do. You wander. Your mind starts thinking about other things. It's okay. Let it wander. Because you know what? The Holy Spirit may approve that wandering moment and bring your mind something that needs to be praying more about than what you were thinking about a moment ago. Let it wander. Pray with impulsiveness. You know, we're praying and all of a sudden we're thinking, I got this appointment coming up this morning. I don't want to be there, but I got to do it. Oh, I'm sorry, Lord, I interrupted our prayer time again. Wait a minute. God wants you to pray about that appointment. That's the reason your mind wandered. Sure, the devil's trying to get you away from your prayer life by putting thoughts in your head, but that's okay. God's there too. Let it happen. Let that impulsiveness be okay. Next, you need to pray with childlike hunger. What do they hunger for? Children hunger for time. Time. With mom and dad. They hunger for time. And they hunger for direction. Help me do this, Dad. Help me do this, Mom. Teach me how to do this. They want direction, but most importantly, they want time. One of Patty's favorite phrases is, what do kids want? Do you see me? Do you see me? Do you see me? Right? And what that means is, are you watching me? Do I have your attention? Do I have your time? So Jesus prayed like a child, had childlike faith. And if Jesus needed all kinds of time with his Father, how much more do we need time with our Heavenly Father? Luke chapter 6, verses 12 through 13. In these days, he had a busy day ahead of this. Full day, probably 16 hours of labor, healing people, casting out demons, preaching. Full day, total exhaustion. What happens next? In these days, he went out to the mountain to pray. All night, he continued in prayer to God. And when day came, he called his disciples and chose from them 12, whom he named his apostles. One night, not this passage, but he was there, healed Peter's mother-in-law. Dozens and dozens and dozens came to be healed, again, exhausted. Disciples went to bed, found a room in the house to sleep. They got up early in the morning. There was dozens and dozens and dozens more people outside the door waiting to be healed. And Jesus couldn't be found anywhere. Where was he? He was out with his Father praying. Children hunger for our time. We need to hunger for time with God as well. And they hunger for direction. Just as Jesus did. Here's a great passage, John chapter 12. He needed the Father's help. He would do nothing. He said, I will do nothing unless the Father has instructed me and told me what to do. I wait for a message from him before I act on my own. So hunger for time, hunger for direction. John chapter 12, verses 49 to 50. For I have not spoken on my own authority, Jesus said, but the Father who sent me has himself given me a commandment, what to say and what to speak. And I know that this commandment is eternal life. What I say, therefore, I say as the Father has told me to say. Finally, we pray with childlike neediness. Children know they don't have the capacity to take care of themselves. They don't have the ability to feed themselves, so they know they're needy, and we need to have that as well. Children ask because they know they can't do it themselves. Here's my little granddaughter, Bryn. Papa, can I make pancakes with you this morning? And Nana, mixing them up. Does Nana or Papa say, you bet, what do you need that chair for? We don't say that to her. What does she do? She goes and grabs a chair, right? Because she's not tall enough to reach the counter or tall enough to reach the top of the stove. So she takes a little chair, and jumps up in the chair, and now she can reach and help us out with those things. Do we say, come on, what's wrong with you? You don't need that. Come on, figure out how you can do it all by yourself. No, children are needy and they know it, and that's okay. It's okay. And so that's how we approach God. God, I can't do this on my own. And that's I think one of the greatest hindrances of prayer is this. We think we can do it on our own. I don't need your help, God. We're going to raise money for this pitch roof all by ourselves. Somehow. We don't know yet, but we're going to do it. So we don't even need to ask you, God, because we can do it. Really? No, we can't. Or whatever you're doing, whatever job you're in, or whatever interview you have, or whatever assignment you've got for that. I can do it, God. I don't need to ask for your help. Don't need to. Greatest hindrance to prayer. Learn this lesson from the Apostle Paul. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, write it down. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9. But God said to me, after I asked him again and again and again, three times, get rid of this thorn in my flesh. I don't want it anymore. I think it was a demon, actually. God says, no, I'm not going to take that demon away from you because your pride is going to be in the way of your ministry. You've been to heaven and back. I can really go to your head, Paul. I don't want to go to your head. So here's this demon that wants to buffet you and tempt you, and you're going to struggle with him. That's my own opinion. Paul called it a thorn in his flesh. What did Jesus say? My grace is sufficient for you, Paul. For my power is made perfect in your weakness. So Paul says, I learned my lesson. God said to me, therefore I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. We are needy. We can't do it ourselves. Your entire daily schedule ought to be prayed over throughout the course of the day. We're going to pick up on this topic next week, but like I said at the beginning, the most important thing I can teach you is to learn to pray like a child in that same attitude, same spirit. Here's your assignment. Write it down. Here's your assignment for this week. If you're in the mood at all to improve your prayer life, which I hope you are, if you want to do business with God in a better way through your prayers and make your prayers much more effective, much more enjoyable, here's your assignment. Number one, there's three things. Number one, pick a time and a place. Pick a time, pick a place. It can be interrupted. You know, it can be delayed because life is life. That's okay. But generally, this is when I want to pray. And here's where I want to pray. I got a place where I can concentrate. Pick a time and a place. Number two, most importantly, approach God with childlikeness. Childlikeness. If it helps you to imagine being a bird on his arm, feeding out of his palm, do it that way. Whatever it takes to help you, imagine yourself as a little child, little Michael, little Magnus, little Ingrid, little Olga, however it works, little Owen, however it works, imagine yourself like them in that kind of a spirit. Approach God in childlikeness. Say, we're adults. Wait a minute. You want to compare your adult maturity with the God of this universe? And you want to almost make yourself equal to him and talk to him as a buddy, as a partner? How's that going to work for you? I don't care how old you are, how mature you are still a child. Because the Lord's Prayer hasn't changed. Our Father, who is in heaven. Number three. Number one, pick a time, pick a place. Number two, approach God with childlikeness. Nothing bad about that. Childish, that's different. Don't be childish. That's different. Childlikeness, that's good. Number three, for this week only, and maybe you'll do it again, but what I'm asking you to do an assignment this week in your prayers, I want you to think short term. Short term. Not long term. This week in your prayer life, as you approach God, think of today and today only. Just today. What's your assignment? What are your worries? What's troubling your heart today? Today. And talk to God about them. Short term it. Not long term. Okay, you got your assignment? You ready to go? Jim, come on up and close our time today with a word of prayer. And congregation, let's stand, please, as we listen to God's benediction blessed upon us, okay? Very good.